Welcome to the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast, your best source for information, news, tips, and tricks to get you off the ground running and earn success with your custom apparel decorating business. So get ready to soak up some knowledge. Now, here are your hosts, Mark and Mark.
Hey everyone, and welcome to yet another episode of the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast. My name is Mark Stevenson.
And this is Mark Vila from Coleman & Company, and today we are here with John Sullivan, and he's here to talk to us about leasing equipment and why you should or shouldn't do that, and all the cool stuff about being able to finance equipment rather than necessarily buy it outright.
Yeah, this is probably, we've been trying to get John on the podcast for a while. He's a busy guy, and we've been trying because it's such a common question from our customers. So not only is he a leasing and finance guy, but he's got a lot of experience in the industry as well. So why don't you introduce yourself, John?
Good morning. My name is John Sullivan, and I work with a company called Adia Capital, who's a financial partner of Coldesi. And I want to start off by talking a little bit about myself to give you some background and let you know how I got started in not only the finance industry, but also the imprinted sportswear industry. It's been so long ago. I think I've been in the imprinted sportswear industry for 30 years. Started off as a screen printer back in the late 80s. And got my feet wet there and learned a lot about the industry from trade shows and trade magazines, which kind of led into a job with a popular magazine in the industry called Impressions. So I worked for Impressions magazine and imprinted sportswear shows for a number of years, and left that and went into the embroidery business, and was in the embroidery business for about going on 5 years before I sold that business and got into the lease side. So yes, I have experience in the industry, but I've also been in the finance side now going on 19 years, and that's a little bit of the background on me.
So that's pretty unique. You're a guy that actually understands the business and the equipment that people are talking about and trying to finance.
Right.
As well as being able to handle the money side.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that does get me to... Go ahead, Mark.
Oh, no, I was just saying what's fantastic is that as we talk to people on this podcast, and when you run into veterans in the industry, you often find people that have a lot of experience across the board because there's so many different facets of this industry that when somebody is talking with you, you know, and asking you advice about leasing and such, it's amazing that it can come from an actual real place of experience.
Yes, it is, and it's good too, because so many times, especially when I'm dealing with startups, you know, I can help them not only, of course, with finance, but with understanding the market and, you know, how to do a little bit of market research to understand simple things like, you know, what the market will bear, what kind of overhead to expect and not exceed, which, you know, in turn will let them be able to set a margin that can make them money and help them stay in business. So those are things that Adia Capital can offer, and I think it is a big advantage for a lot of our startups.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I picked up from our last conversation, because I don't know if you guys out there listening to the podcast realize this, but Coldesi leases or Coldesi customers lease a significant part of their equipment. So, you know, for example, we sell a lot of machines. Coldesi is one of the biggest equipment providers in the business. And it's rhinestone machines and embroidery machines and DTG. And most, I don't know if most of the people, but a lot of the people that get that equipment do go ahead and lease. Now, is that something that you see across the industry, John?
Yes, absolutely. And it's been that way for quite a while now. And I think, you know, the real reason is there's a number of leasing companies in our industry. And so, well, there's leasing companies in every industry. But I think we've done a good job of educating the customer as well as the vendor on some of the benefits of leasing. And I think that ultimately people find, you know, a partner, you know, more than just a bank. They find someone that they can grow their business with that only lends money on equipment so they can protect their bank lines and their different local area lenders from having to lend them the money on the equipment. And that way, if they need money, you know, I'm sure we'll get into cash flow issues eventually, but you know, if they need money for different cash flow situations, then that bank will be there for them, where we're there for them on the equipment.
Okay, so that's really interesting. So when someone leases equipment from you, that's not really part of their other business relationship with their bank, right? So what you're saying is someone wants to get a multi-head embroidery machine and they set up a lease through your company, that's not going to affect their line of credit that they might have at the bank that they might need for other things.
Absolutely, and that's an amazing benefit of leasing is that, you know, we do not report to the credit bureaus. So, you know, truly, no one's going to know that they don't own the machine unless they tell them or if a bank looks at UCC filings to see. And this has been something that's been ongoing in the leasing industry for a long time. So, for example, when you borrow money from us for your equipment, it's, you know, depending upon the types of leases that we do, and we can get into that in a minute, the different structures of leases, but a lot of it, you know, can be off balance sheet for your business. So you don't have to carry the debt on your balance sheet for the equipment that you're purchasing through lease finance. And okay, that's a big benefit because you get to show all the profitability, but you don't have to show the debt or the liability.
Okay, so for some of our customers that might not be quite as sophisticated on the business side, you know, the documents that you're talking about, like a balance sheet and things like that, those are typically the things for a business that you have to provide to a bank, or if you're going for an SBA loan, you've got to say, here's all the equipment that I own, here's the debt attached to the equipment, here's how much money I'm making, etc.
Right, absolutely, and that's exactly right. That's for the accounting side of it. So a lot of startup businesses, you know, aren't going to be thinking about that, and rightly so in some instances. But, you know, it is one of the benefits of being able to borrow money from someone who's not taxing your personal credit or affecting your balance sheet. And that's an important thing for anyone to know when they start a business. And that's why lease finance, like you said, does so many deals in our industry, because people eventually find that out through talking to a leasing agent or a vendor. You know, a lot of the sales reps and representatives that work for Goldesi are very versed in this, and they understand it, so they give that information to their customers, and then, you know, we can confirm that information, and it lets them purchase equipment in a way that's best protecting their financial investment. You know, I always say flexibility is the number one, you know, reason for small business to use leasing. And flexibility meaning that, you know, no one has a crystal ball. No one knows what's coming down the road. You don't know if you're going to need to borrow money from your local bank for a large order. You don't know if you're going to need to, you know, borrow money for other reasons and other things that come up in business. You know, two of the main things that really affect small business when they need a bank line are, you know, marketing and in some cases taxes. And if you use up your bank line on equipment, then that ability to borrow is gone. So it's important to use lease finance in that regard. Go ahead.
Yeah. I was saying, when I used to sell equipment, I've mentioned it before in the podcast, and when I was in equipment sales, I would have folks that were debating what they were going to do. They said, well, I have some cash. I've got these two credit cards that I can do, you know, 0% for a year. I can consider leasing, you know, and things of that nature. And these are all things that I can consider. And I would tell them that, you know, all that's great, but you need to talk to the lease, you know, the leasing company first, because you have to consider that you've got this credit card that is at 0%, which is great. Mm-hmm. However, like, that's money that you can access instantly at any time already. And you want to consider, like, do I want to take that, you know, this $15,000 or whatever the number is that you've got available, and basically use 90% of it in a revolving debt? Is that the best financial decision to make? You know, maybe for some people, but oftentimes, if you can lease it, I would tell the folks, like, let your equipment finance guy or woman handle that, and take that money that's available now and save it for that day when you literally need it tomorrow.
One of the things that we talk about a lot in blog posts, and we try to hammer you know into your heads on the podcast and in articles and our ROI pieces on the Avanse and the DTG site and Coldesi site, it's kind of all the same. And that's, you know, you guys out there listening know cash is hard to come by. So, you know, if you have $10,000 or $12,000 or you've saved up $25,000 to start a business, you know, then it's going to be a while before you can build that kind of safety net back up. So even if you can afford to spend that money and write a check for equipment, that big order thing that John mentioned is a real business killer. You know, let's say if you get a huge order from a university or a big business and they want 500 pieces, you know, you're going to have to buy those shirts or bags or whatever they are. You're going to have to spend the labor to get them decorated in whatever your method are. You're going to need the supplies. You're going to have to get a percentage just in case some of that order is wrong. So all that time passes, and then you're going to send these big companies an invoice, and they're going to pay you when they like. Yeah. So that second big order that you get, you may not be able to fill. Or maybe the company doesn't pay you for 60 or 90 days, and, man, now you don't have the cash, you know, when you could have otherwise.
Right, and I think that's a very important, you know, statement. And going back to what Mark Vila said about revolving debt, we'll start there. He's absolutely right. You know, one of the big killers, and we'll get into credit in a minute, of credit is revolving debt. It will plummet your score. And, you know, one of the main things to protect as an entrepreneur is your credit. And so when you create that revolving debt to buy your equipment, you might be getting 0% interest, but it's taxing your ability to borrow. And here again, the crystal ball statement, you don't know what's coming down the road, so it's important to keep those lines over. Never create revolving debt as an entrepreneur if you can help it. Credit analysts can't stand it. Installment debt, real estate debt, those are debts that they can live with. Revolving debt and very little bit available once you use it is a real killer for your credit. And then going into the cash side of what Mark Stevenson was saying, that's very true as well. It's you know, cash is king. And I can make a case for leasing if you have a ton of money. It really makes, you know, for a finance guy, and I know that's what I am, but even pulling myself away from that, if I were looking at it objectively as a business owner, I would never spend my cash just based on the principle of time value of money, if nothing else. And the listeners can look that up. You can Google time value of money, and it's just a principle that basically says that your money is worth more in your pocket today than it will be tomorrow. That's what it basically says.
Yeah.
So keep your money, keep it working for you. If you have a large sum and you're drawing a small amount of interest from a bank, you still have that cash, which makes you more viable for a bank, and it's also earning money. And so let's compare it to this. Let's look at it from a perspective of a consumer versus a business owner. And I have this conversation a lot with a lot of startup businesses and even some other small businesses that have been in business for a while. They've always paid cash. They've always been debt-free. It's very important to them to be debt-free. And while I totally agree with that on the consumer side, I do not agree with it on the commercial side. So if I'm buying a car, I want to be able to pay cash for it or finance it at super low interest on a short term because there's no benefit to it. It's simply just getting me from point A to point B, and as we all know, depreciating very rapidly. So, right. You know, so that really is something you want to pay cash for. Your home, most people can't afford to pay, you know, cash for a home, so finance that, and there's some good write-off benefits to doing that. But as a business, if you have cash, keep that cash working for you, only if it's working for you personally, not just in your marketing and in the other aspects of your business where you have to be able to spend money and have money. But in the aspect of you personally, put that money to work for you, and here's why. When you do a lease, you're able to write off 100% of it against your earnings tax anyway. So it doesn't make sense to spend your cash when you can use someone else's cash and have a monthly payment that's very affordable, in most cases lower than what most banks will provide, mm-hmm. and do it in a way that doesn't affect your credit, allows you to keep your cash, and get you the equipment that you, not that you can just afford, but that you need, that your business needs. So,
and what? Yeah, somebody might say, which is, you know, a curious thing to note here, and I know you've got the right answer for it because I've got the answer in my head, but I won't be able to articulate it. But I don't want to pay interest on equipment if I could just pay for it cash.
And I understand.
So that's a thought. So that's what people will think and say. And I know that you've got the right answer to for people to understand what that means.
And getting back to that, you know, I'm 51, and I've lived a life of not financing personal things in most cases. Very rarely do I do that, and my grandfather taught me that when I was young. And we run into that a lot. You read a lot of people that, you know, debt is evil, debt is bad, you don't want debt. And I totally agree. I mean, you know, look at the reset our country went through in 2008, probably because a lot of it had to do with debt. But in business, the offset is that you're able to write it off. And that's if you couldn't do that, then it wouldn't make a lot of sense not to spend cash in some cases. But because of the tax write-off benefit, it does make sense to use someone else's cash. And going back to the time value of money, if these people who are what I call them no debtors, and I love those kind of people. And I love talking with them and strategizing with them and then sometimes debating them in the simple fact of they see it from one angle and I'm trying to get them to see it from the other, because most times that point of view and that mandate in their life is a personal decision. It's not a business decision. And so, you know, so when you bring it into the commercial aspect of business, then it does open the door to look at financing in a way where you never did as a consumer. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and it's really interesting coming from you, John. I appreciate that because I know that you basically live in Dave Ramsey country.
Yes, I do.
Right? So, yes. So, and he's the big personal financial cash only
right.
Guru that's got a lot of followers and has done a lot of good. But you're right, there's a fundamental difference.
I have absolutely, and I'm glad you brought that up. I have several customers who are, you know, followers of Dave Ramsey and his the way he does, you know, his money talks. And while I certainly appreciate them, and I agree with most everything Dave says in this regard for business, and I think he would take on a different tone, too, when it comes to commercial spending, you know, just simply because of the benefits. And as long as someone doesn't overreach, because, listen, you know, this is something important for your listeners to know. Finance companies will allow you to overreach. You know, they'll lend you the money. You know, you're the one that has to do the homework and make sure that you have a viable business plan and that you've done your market research, that you know what the market will bear, that you know what type of margins you can charge or what kind of margins you can make, and that you're not, you know, overheading your business. You know, so many people in the printed sportswear business, when they go into it, have this idea of a boutique and this nice retail area. And while those businesses exist and most of them thrive, they didn't start there.
Right.
And so it's knowing your starting point and where you can grow in order to be able to afford to have those types of what I call in-game retail locations and things like that.
Yeah, cool. So I've got a question because you've mentioned it a couple of times, and then I'm going to let Mark Vila take a turn. And that is, you've talked about and everyone talks about the tax advantages of leasing and being able to write stuff off.
Yes.
A lot of our customers out there that have never been in business themselves, other than maybe a homestead exemption if they own a house,
right,
really don't have an idea of what that means.
Okay.
So describe what that means to a business owner and you know, in real money, what that could mean at the end of the year.
Well, absolutely. Okay, most small businesses don't realize, and this is the two major culprits of startup businesses and small businesses are tax expense, not just sales tax, but also income tax, and also marketing. Those are the two major culprits that get people because, you know, if they've never opened a business or owned a business, they don't understand, you know, how much it does cost to market and how many pennies of your $1 you get to keep. And the answer to those questions is vital for people who are in business. So let's say that, you know, you've always worked for someone, you've always been on a W-2, you've never had to pay your own taxes. Well, when you open your own business, guess what? You're the one paying the taxes. And so, you know, people need to realize that every dollar they make, they're very lucky to be able to keep 75% of it. In most cases, it's less than that.
Right.
So that's earnings tax money you're going to pay. And also, if you own your own business, the real high percentage part of your tax is your SE tax, your self-employment tax. Now, with me saying all these things, and I know Mark Stevenson is going to bring this up too, it's very important to consult your accountant or CPA because, you know, there are variables that go into these statements that they're going to be able to answer a lot better than I can. But But they're important. It's important to know that when you make money, you owe money. And when you finance your equipment through lease, it allows you to write off 100% of what you've paid in. So let's say that, for example, if you just did a bank loan, then you would be able to depreciate the equipment and expense the interest or any other things that go into the running of the business, for example, like maintenance and things like that, supplies. You can expense those things. Now, with lease, depending upon what kind of lease you do, you can write off 100% as an operating expense. So if you do an operating lease, let's say that an operating lease is a lease that carries a purchase option of 10% or greater, and here again, consult your CPA on this, then you can write off 100% without depreciation. You simply can expense it. Now, Mark, you said real dollars, and that's another very important thing, because so many times when it comes to taxes, is it a dollar-for-dollar write-off? You know, if I spend $10,000 and I owe $10,000 to the IRS, do I owe zero now? The answer is no.
Right.
You're going to owe money. It's depending upon your tax bracket. And whatever money you put in or you paid in on the equipment, you can hedge it 100% of the percentage of tax you pay. A lot of people are talking about this time of year, and Mark, you know, both Marks, you know this very well. Section 179 is a big topic. You know, what's Section 179? What's that even mean? I mean, that's an intimidating thing to hear. Well, the truth is all it is just an acceleration of depreciation into 1 year. So let's say that most people, when they finance something, they'll depreciate it if it's a depreciable loan or lease over the term. You know, the term can be anywhere from 1 to 5 years. And then at the end of that time, it's depreciated out. Well, you know, the IRS has allowed us to have this Section 179 of their code that allows us to write off 100% in 1 year. So let's say you're a startup business and you spent $20,000 on your equipment. A Section 179 for you probably isn't even going to be something you should be concerned about, because you've not generated enough income, most likely, in that first year to have a depreciation schedule accelerated into 1 year. But let's say that the second and third year down the road, you're making a lot more money, which means you're going to owe a lot more money. And here again, it could be anywhere from 15 to 35% of each dollar you make, depending upon your income level and what else you have to write off. Well, then Section 179 becomes very important, because as you pay your taxes as a business, and if I'm getting a little ahead of myself, we can go back to this, but a business pays taxes quarterly. So that's another thing to understand. You don't wait till the end of the year to pay your taxes. Consult your CPA. You'll set up a situation, depending upon how your business is structured, to pay your taxes on a quarterly basis. So you pay in every quarter. Well, let's say at the end of the year, you know, you see that you have this much cash. You can expect this much cash coming in from the calculations that you've made. And, wow, we've paid on this lease for 2 years. But if we paid it off right now, we could write off the remainder against our earnings tax. Maybe we should Section 179 it now, because you don't have to do it the minute you buy it. You can do it whenever you want to, as long as there's, you know, some time remaining in your schedule.
Right.
So that Section 179 allows you to do that, and sometimes it'll allow people to get out of a pretty heavy tax burden for that particular year. But the important thing to remember is that going forward, there's no more depreciation for that. It's over.
So I think, you know, what our listeners, if you're not a financial guy and if you're not already in business, what you should take away from what John said is that he knows what he's talking about. Okay, so, you know, you're going to have to, like, Google depreciation and what that means to a business tax and things like that. But when you talk to a good rep at any company when you're buying equipment, and I don't care if it's tractors or embroidery machines or, you know, conveyor belts, you've got to work with people who know what they're talking about and can fill in those holes for you.
Yes.
So if you are in business and you've been in business for a couple of years and you want to take a look at adding equipment, if you are just getting started and you're kind of mapping things out, then, you know, you have the opportunity to work with somebody that has your best interests at heart. When you talk to a good leasing company or financial company or advisor like that, you know, the key is that you're getting the right advice that will benefit your business. Because when you're successful, kind of like for Cold Essie, you buy an embroidery machine. We'll do whatever we can to make you successful, like this podcast, because, you know, we sell other stuff. We want you to grow and buy a direct-to-garment printer or a rhinestone machine. And John from ADA Capital is kind of in the same boat.
Yes.
He wants to give you the right finance deal on whatever you're looking at, because he knows that if you do that right, and if he can answer the questions for you, you know, in the most helpful way, that you'll be back to lease more equipment.
Absolutely.
And so I've heard, so a lot of heavy stuff was spoken here, and I was in the finance industry for probably about 6 or 7 years before I got into this. So I was very used to having to understand all of this and be able to communicate it so regular folks could understand. So I'm going to maybe make an attempt to do that now in less than 60 seconds. if you pay cash for your equipment right now, when you go to do your taxes, the government's going to want to take a certain amount of money from you. You have a brand new business. You basically earned nothing. They want to take basically nothing from you. However, in 3 or 4 years or in 12 months or whatever it might be, you're going to earn money, and it might be enough where the government's going to want to take a nice chunk. And having the $179 in the lease gives you the opportunity to say, hey, you know what, government, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to put a block card right now on those taxes because I don't want to pay that today, and I'm going to go ahead and use this money that I invested in equipment as a business expense, and I can use all of that right now, or I can kind of, you know, just continue to take little pieces and chunks of it over time. And also, the value of that equipment with wear and tear and age and all of these things will change over time. And the government also says that you're allowed to reduce the amount of taxes you pay based on some of that as well. So hopefully, do you think that's really layman it up?
Yeah, I think that was
pretty good.
Yeah, that was good. And I think that, you know, here's what's important to know. It's so difficult to, you know, listen to something like this. You get some good information, and you think you understand it, and then it comes time to pull the trigger, and you're like, well, did I have that right? Here's what's important to know, and what Mark Stevenson said is so true, or I think maybe it was you, Mark. You know, when you talk to your sales rep at Cold Essie, they're going to point you in the right direction. They're going to do everything they can to help your business succeed. They're not just there to sell you equipment. They're there to help you with your business, and the same thing holds true for ADA Capital. So if some of these things that are being said are hard to understand now or you don't feel like are pertinent to you, you know, we can assure you that they will be. And contact us. You know, you don't have to call us and fill out an application to be able to talk with us and to brainstorm with us about your business. You know, feel free to call us and go over these things so you understand them better. We can talk one-on-one so your own personal questions can be answered. And that way you can determine whether or not lease finance is something you want to do.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, and that, go ahead, sorry.
I was just going to say, John, you know, we've got some of the basic questions that we get all the time that I'd like to run by you from customers and potential customers, as well as a couple of people chimed in on Facebook.
Absolutely.
Okay, so the first question is, what kind of credit do you actually need to lease equipment?
Yes, that's an important question. You know, really, to answer, you know, in a short kind of little answer, it doesn't really, you know, matter right now. Call us and talk with us about your credit. If you know that you have poor credit, call us anyway. There could be an option for you in lease finance. We do have lenders that are willing to look at credit scores that are not incredibly high, okay? Or even they can even be below average. You know, we do deals. We did a deal yesterday that had a sub-600 score. Now, that doesn't mean that every sub-600 score is going to get approved, okay? There's going to be declines. But we do have a great program that can encompass everyone, and then certainly if you have average or above credit, you're going to have no issues obtaining a lease.
Okay.
When I did finance and debt consolidations and credit cards and all of these things, you know, that was a question. So what kind of credit do I need? And I would always say, just honestly, just let me pull the application. Like, that's what it's all about, because right. I got stuff approved that I don't understand why it got approved, but the bank the bank liked it. You know, I mean, that didn't work out to me, but, right. but the bank said no, and then you talk to an underwriter, and the underwriter would explain it. Now, this was when I was in my 20s, so I didn't have a lot of experience, and I bet right. John, doing it many years, probably could even understand why that they did approve that loan. And on the other hand, I've seen stuff with mediocre credit that I thought was fine that the bank explained to me why it didn't make sense. So yeah. it's basically 100% of the time it's worth it to get an application pulled if you're interested. And honestly, if your credit is really not good and you're concerned that, I don't want another pull on my credit, that's not what's killing you, man. You know, that's not what's killing
you.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's so true.
And it's true. So, just get the pull on your credit. It's not going to kill anything. Like, yeah. and maybe John or and his associates over there can maybe even help you with a little bit of advice to say, you know what, if you do XYZ in 2017 or 2018 when you go to invest again in your business, you will be able to get approved for a lease.
Absolutely. Great point, Mark. And I think that's right. Getting the application to us does give us pretty much all that we need to be able to consult you now and going forward. And another thing I want to throw in there that we've not discussed is that I know there's a lot of companies out now that are providing credit scores, and people need to understand that a lot of times they're not looking at the scores we're looking at. In other words, they're not looking at FICO scores. They're looking at what are called consumer credit scores. I get people that call me all the time and say, well, I just pulled, and I won't mention any names of these credit agencies that provide these services, but they'll say, well, it says I'm a 720, and of course I'll pull it, and they're a 620. So it's important to understand that filling out the application gets you not only the advice you need to go forward, but a clear picture of your credit story. And we're real good at helping people keep a good credit profile, improve a average credit, and bring up a poor credit score. Nice. And a lot of times lease finance can help your business. We have not spoken about this, but, you know, we don't report to your personal credit for the reasons we discussed previously. However, we do report Dun & Bradstreet and Business Equifax on your business credit. Mm-hmm. And that will help you build business credit in the goal one day being, you know, to commercially finance something as a business as opposed to personally guaranteeing it. So it's important to build a business credit file.
Now, John, how about a down payment? So if somebody's got kind of, let's say they're on the bad credit end of things, if they had cash to put down, does that kind of ameliorate that? Are they more likely to get approved? Is that something?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Cash definitely helps. It's not always going to bring a poor credit situation to an approval, but it will definitely assist. So, you know, these are things that are important to remember. So when you're filling out the application, if you have cash, if you've had a previous bankruptcy, so you've kind of resorted to cash, don't let that keep you from calling us and filling out an application, because, you know, there could be some ways that we can help you not only get an approval now, but an approval, you know, in the near future. One of the things that Adient Capital does a lot of is helping. We have a number of success stories where people fill out an application, they get an initial decline, and then 3 to 4 months, if they're really willing to work their end of it, they'll see an approval. And those are some of the that's why I do this business, is to help people not only with great credit, people with all kinds of credit, you know, get the type of equipment they need and help them become successful with it. Because, as you guys said earlier, it's all perpetual. It comes back to us. They buy more equipment. They buy more equipment from you. They finance it with us. It's a win-win-win situation.
Yeah, great. I've got a question on Facebook here, and that is, what is the small amount of money that somebody can finance?
You know, $5,000 is the straight answer. You know, most banks don't want to facilitate a loan or lease under $5,000. However, we have done it from time to time, but I would use $5,000 as the benchmark.
Okay. So two brush and bake systems, Mark Vila.
There you go. And another question that people ask is what about when they're combining things together? So what if they are buying an embroidery machine, but they're also buying a heat press machine? Is that something? Can you combine those together or not? Or is it a weird situation?
Yeah, you absolutely can combine them, and you can throw in a forklift too. If you need if you need to combine them,
So if they need a forklift too, they should talk to you.
All right. But the point, I guess, I'm making that is forklift. You can combine them, and there in many times you should combine them, because the higher the dollar amount, the better, you know, the better type of payment situation you're going to be in. But you know, there are times too where you might want to break them apart. With saying that you're buying two different pieces of equipment that have two different lives or two different earning cycles, and maybe you want to get out of one of them and not the other, then at that point it's probably smarter to do two leases than it would be to do one. Now, you can break them apart from time to time. If someone wants to get rid of something they have in one lease, we can break them apart, and we've done that many times, but it's much cleaner and easier if they just do two separate leases on that type of equipment.
Okay. And can someone assume a lease? So let's say I lease a Direct to Garmin printer, and 2 years later, you know, I want to do something different. I want to go into embroidery instead or something. Can I basically have somebody else take over my payments?
Absolutely, you can. We call it acquisition assumption, or ANA for short, and you definitely can. Now, they'll have to have their credit approved, of course. So a credit analyst will review their credit, see that, you know, they're able and capable of taking over your payment, and then they take over, they're on, and you're off. So, yes, that can happen.
Interesting.
And now listen, too, the good thing about that, you know, a lot of people that buy equipment that, you know, they do want to sell and get it out of it, you know, a lot of times it's easier if you're on a lease to have someone assume your lease than to try to sell your equipment outright. And also, leases provided a way where you didn't tie up all your capital into that machine, so it's a win-win situation. So you didn't, you know, pay so much cash up front with it for it and try to sell it to an individual. You finance it through lease finance and then had someone else assume your lease. That's a much better situation.
Yeah, neat. Yeah. Mark Vila?
I have a question separate from that with in regards to the assumption of the equipment and lease and things like that. So how does it work when somebody is looking to sell their business possibly? So they've got an opportunity to, say, sell this business that they've been growing, like a storefront or something like that, and there's a leased equipment in it. Is that kind of the same answer, or is there something special that people do?
No, it is, Mark, it is the same answer. Now, when someone's selling a business, let's say they have three or four different pieces of equipment leased, you know, it's a little more cumbersome, but it still is the same basic process. And what it does is it allows someone to come in and, let's say they're borrowing money to buy your business, well, they can borrow the money to buy the brick and mortar or the website or whatever kind of situation you're in with your business, but they don't have to borrow the money, you know, as a new business or as a business buying your business from their bank for your equipment. They simply can assume it. So it makes it easier for them to buy your business. It makes your business more marketable.
And what about if somebody, say, is coming up on a large sum of cash? What about paying off that debt or paying off the debt because they're going to give the business to their brother or something like that? So kind of like, you know, paying it off early type of situations.
We do offer an early payoff with no penalty after a year on most of our leases. Very, very few people take us up on that because most of them, once they've been in business and they've seen the nuances of business, realize they're going to kill their tax shelter and spend their money. So, you know, they don't want to do that. So, you know, I would say, yes, you can do it, but it's not always to your advantage to do so.
That sounds kind of like, you know, with the Avance, if you get a single head, you have 2 years, you can trade it in 100% of the value for a multi-head.
Right.
And we get tons of people that buy multi-heads, but hardly anybody turns in their single head.
Yes.
Because it just makes more sense to expand.
Absolutely, and single heads are vital. I mean, how many... You know, I've walked in a ton of embroidery businesses that have, you know, several dozen heads, and they always have a single head to do, you know, personalization and small runs and samples. So, you know, people are going to keep their single heads. We're in the business, too, of helping people with those decisions because of our background in embroidery and screen printing. You know, we can shed some light on when to trade in and when not to.
Let me see here. I'm looking for other questions that we got on Facebook.
All right.
There are definitely some people taking advantage of the opportunity. What happens if I can't make a payment?
Well, basically, you know, from time to time, people run into a situation where they have cash flow issues and making a payment is extremely hard. In those instances, most times we can move a payment to the rears or to the back of their contract. We've done that for people, you know, several times throughout our years in business, and we'll continue to do so when people find themselves in that situation. We strive to help them never be in that situation, but it does happen. So when it happens, we work with them. We're never wanting to say, oh, well, you know, you're in default. You know, we're coming to get your equipment and take your money. That never happens. You know, only in the most extreme cases where someone just, you know, loses all contact with us. So I think it's very important to realize that, you know, we're here to help you guys. We're here to help the customers. If they get in a situation like that, certainly call us, explain the situation, and we'll do everything we can to help you.
Great. Is there anything that you would like to talk to people about that we did not ask you, John?
You know what, Mark?
We forgot one of the most important questions that we ask everybody that comes on the program.
Uh-oh.
Oh, God.
If you were a tree...
Oh, God.
I'm kidding. The real question is, if you were a fish, what kind of fish would you be?
Oh, man, I don't know.
Don't answer that question. Do not answer that question.
You guys are having fun.
Somebody thought of that once, and it didn't go well. So we've talked about, you know, what leasing is and what the impact can be on your business, and we talked about taxes and Section 179 and credit and minimums and how much a company like yours can, you know, basically help with overall advice.
And that's true. What I wanted to bring up that we didn't bring up are some of the things that we can do. You know, just flexible options for people. Let's say you already have a business. You're looking to add equipment. Of course, between now and the end of the year, the Section 179 is a great reason to go ahead and buy if you find yourself wanting to save those dollars. We have custom terms and leases for people in all different kinds of situations. We have seasonal payments. Let's say that you have a business on the beach and you're closed 3 or 4 months out of the year. You know, we can make it where your payments only happen while your business is open.
No kidding.
You know, no kidding. Yeah, they're called seasonal payment leases, and we do them quite often. So we also have a 90-day deferred payment program. So you're starting your business. You don't want a payment for the first 90 days. We have that kind of program that we can do. You know, so there's different types of leases we have that we can personalize them to fit most businesses. We also didn't talk about the different types of leases we do. We touched on it. You know, we can do a capital lease usually, which carries a $1 purchase option in most states. Some states, like the one that you're in, Florida, is $101 because of the way their laws are written. And then we also have a 10% option lease, which a lot of people like because it's a less of a monthly payment with the 10% option at the end, but they also can trade the equipment in or return the equipment at the end of the lease and not pay that option. So, you know, we have all different kinds of leases, and we have straight loans too. If someone is in some way not wanting to do a lease, then we can do a straight loan, which we call equipment finance agreements.
That's great.
So we can do those too. So those are some.
You know, you reminded me about there's a lot of advertising out there for 0% financing.
Yes, there is.
Why don't you talk to that just for a moment?
Yeah. Hey, you guys. Why don't you guys lend me money for a car at 0% interest? Do you want to do that?
No.
And that's the thing. No one does. No one truly offers a 0% interest unless they are a captive-owned bank. And I don't mean a leasing or finance company. I mean a bank. John Deere, for example, would fall into that category. They might be able to do that from time to time, but I promise if you got to look at the back end of the books, it wouldn't be so. And what's going on here, and we see it all the time in the furniture industry and in the home sewing industry, you'll always see, you know, 0% interest. But what they're not telling you is it's not 0% interest. They're actually paying quite a bit of interest. But what happens is it's called, in our industry, we call it a blind discount. And what's happening is that these lending companies will go in and talk to these vendors, and in order to bring in customers, they'll say, hey, you can offer 0% interest. And that'll bring customers in, and they'll buy that equipment, and they'll think they're getting 0% interest, and that's going to make them happy, and it's going to make you happy. What they're not telling you is that that equipment vendor or dealer is paying sometimes anywhere from 10 to 15% in discount in order to offer that 0% interest. So let's put it the way you can kind of understand it. Let's say they sell you the equipment for $10,000 at 0% interest. What they're not telling you is they're only going to fund that dealer $8,500. Now, some people say, well, why would I care if I think I'm getting at the said price with 0% interest? Well, the reason to care is because if that dealer or vendor is willing to take that much less for that equipment, well, then how much is that equipment really worth on the open market? So, or in a resale situation. And it also can bring some concern to underwriters, too, that don't do that. Look, I think it's deception, okay? I don't do it, and I don't like doing it. And whenever I'm up against it in most situations, some people say, well, I can buy from this vendor for 0%. Then I say, well, look, let me explain it to you, and I explain what I just explained. And I say, simply call them up and tell them you'll give them $1,500 less in cash. They'll probably take it. That lets you know that you're not dealing with someone that's truly on the up and up. Right. The great thing about Coldesi is that they're in the business of helping their customers grow their business, because the ownership at Coldesi sees the big picture. If they help their business, the businesses they work with grow, that's going to help them grow. But more important than growth is longevity. And that's what that provides. When you truly help people in a right way, you don't hide things and you don't manipulate things, but you do things on the up and up, that generally comes back to you in a better way. And that's the success story of Coldesi as well as Adia Capital. We're truthful. We don't hide anything. You know, the one thing sometimes that people say, well, you didn't tell me there's a documentation fee, because a lot of times you don't see, you know, information about documentation fees. And there usually is a documentation fee. From time to time, we can waive it. From time to time, Coldesi will pay it during certain special promotions, but there is a documentation fee. So that's the one area sometimes someone says, well, you didn't tell me about that. Other than that, everything's on, you know, black and white up front.
Nice. I like that. Mark, do you have any other questions for John?
I don't have questions, but I would elaborate that on a little bit. I it's true of almost anything, and I think it's true in two ways why, like, the 0% is not necessarily always true, you know, and when it is true, why it's true. So for one is I financed a whole bunch of different things. I never dealt with the consumer. I always dealt with the company. If we would do mattresses and we would do house painting, you know, I mean, anything that you see where you can get financing, you know, they are not lending you to the money. A bank is. And we would always fund them less than what the contract was for, you know, meaning that we made money off of that transaction, even though it was zero interest for 5 years. And when I say we, I mean the bank I worked for, I didn't really make any money off of that. I guess my salary, but you know, that's how my salary got paid. So the company that was painting your house, or the mattress that you purchased at 0% that you were really excited that you're paying no interest for, I mean, you did pay interest. You paid interest in one way or another. Right. You paid more for the product than you would have in a different situation. And then the other, with the 0% on the credit cards and things like that, it's, you know, yeah, you might actually get a credit card where they literally don't charge you a fee to open it and there's 0%, but it's generally for a finite amount of time, because they know statistically they are going to make money. It's like betting. It's going to Vegas for them.
Yeah. Not to interrupt you, but 75% of the time people don't meet the time niche. And on top of that, too, they're creating revolving debt.
The revolving debt, we circle back to that, which I think is a really important thing to consider, you know, is that revolving debt, or AKA credit cards.
There you go. Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, gentlemen.
There's a lot of information here, so I'm sure that some people might need to rewind and Google during this episode, and I think you should, but more so if you're listening to this and you're really trying to study it and learn what John had to say, and you're trying to figure it out, you could do a lot of that all on your own, and you could bring, you know, you can bring up Google and re-listen, but you can also talk to the folks at ADIA and actually just get somebody on the phone to answer, or over your email to answer the really heavier questions. So hopefully this opens up your mind.
Yeah, and I think this is one of the few podcasts that we're going to go ahead and do a transcription for.
Oh, good.
So look at that, because there's a lot of good stuff that was covered, and of course, you know, look for articles and things like that based on the same topic, and let us know if you have any more questions from John too. But John, why don't you give everybody your contact information so they know where to get you?
Absolutely. You can reach me toll-free at 866-757-0244. You can also reach me on my direct line. I'll be happy to give that out as well, which is area code 501-282-8227. You can reach me on there via, that's my cell, so you can also reach me via text there. And then you can reach my email, which is jsully@adiacapital.com, and that's spelled A-D-I-A, the word capital, C-A-P-I-T-A-L.com.
Yep, that's great. And if you go to the new coldesi.com website, you will see a link about leasing in the upper right-hand corner. If you click enough buttons around in there, eventually you'll end up at the ADIA Capital website.
Absolutely, www.adiacapital.com.
We'll also, on CASpodcast.com, which a lot of people are listening to from, we will have all of that information right in the description of the podcast as well.
Good idea.
So
we can do
– there's so many things we can do and so many things we don't.
Just stop it right there. Stop it right there. All right.
But it will be there, and it'll be so great.
I think that wraps it up, guys. Unless you have anything else, Mark.
I feel great about this.
Yeah, me too. I think this was really helpful. If you think it was helpful too, out there in podcast land, make sure you share the podcast with other small business owners in or out of the apparel decorating business. I think having guys like John Sullivan from ADIA Capital on the podcast is gold for you folks. So share it, get in touch with myself or Mark Vila or John, and get started. So,
and I hope there's more to come. I've enjoyed doing this, and I love talking to you guys. You guys bring a really fresh aspect and the education side to the customers, and I'm all for that. So anytime I can ever help, please let me know.
Honestly, John, we'll have you back on, but it all depends on your answer to the what kind of treat.
Man, I'm not going to bite.
All right, everybody. This has been Mark Stevenson from Coldesi.
This is Mark Vila from Coleman & Company. And thanks, guys, everyone.
Yeah, you guys have a good business. Bye, John.
Bye-bye.